If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the love and the light of the one unified field that we call the divine. Tonight, beloveds, our topic is the new energetic paradigm, living from wholeness. Are you living from wholeness? If you are, then you're living from the new energetic paradigm. So tonight, we have work to do immediately before we launch into our program, and I'm going to call you forward in your full light wholeness right now. Just present in your human form, your divine vastness. Take a deep breath. Expand your light field. Expand, 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 expand. And occupy this globe that we call the Earth. Include it in your entire field. And proclaim divine order, divine peace, divine wholeness. From the very deepest and purest place within your consciousness. And we put an end to all that which would ignite and destroy conflict and all that bespeaks of the old paradigm. And we celebrate in the love of that unified field into which we are now moving as a vanguard of light. Dearest ones, this program is for the integration, the activation, and the embodiment fully, multidimensionally, and in the sense of the greatest omnipresence, our vaster selves, that have become misidentified with a small, singular form positioned in time and space. And that confusion of identity is what has spawned what we call this world of the third dimension, which is simply a field of conditioned, limited, compressed light, gravitationally entrapped, but now set free through grace. And in that setting free, we're being called to depart an old mindset, an old way of approaching and living and working, as if we were an effect of some cause that we had no control over. So as we begin to re-embody that vastness that we are and redefine the divine authority that is embodied as who we are, we take dominion over energies that are not appropriate in this embodiment of divinity that we call the Earth. We are here to claim it for love. We are here to claim it for peace. We are here to claim it for divine order. And it can only be reclaimed and re-embraced into that greater unified field of wholeness by those of us who are the embodied fleets of light, the emissaries, the celestial emissaries of light. So as we begin to again contemplate and look into what is so for us, what paradigm are we operating out of? How are we living? And I think you'll find, as I have, that we're a very mixed bag. We're multidimensional. And that is the blessing of being in a human form, because we are full spectrum in our capacity to resonate every single level of wavelength and consciousness, from the darkest to the most brilliant, and everything in between. That's what makes us so unusual. Now, if we can do that without losing awareness of our wholeness, we've got it made. And I believe that we're all in degrees of becoming quite proficient at doing that, because we're all learning together. And having said that, I want to look at the specific matrix that holds some of these old paradigm systems in place. You will recognize them as soon as I mention them, and you will be able then to step free of them if you wish. It's a choice. But once you have seen clearly that you're operating out of an old paradigm that isn't necessary anymore, you can just simply choose to not do that. It's just a choice. It's just simply a choice of a different approach. So I'll quickly go through these because you'll recognize them immediately. The old 3D paradigm is based upon effort, work, and struggle. All that's required to eke out one's survival in the material world. The world is seen as something separate from the self, a world that is hostile and fiercely competitive. And here is the individual pitted against this force that seems to be the one that is dominating one's choices. In the old materialistic paradigm, there never seems to be enough. And out of that matrix of belief and lack seems to appear like mushrooms on a humid night. It seems to appear everywhere, within and without. Because what you keep vocalizing into and expecting into and energetically leaning into, you manifest. So all of the lack, you know, the seeming lack of energy, the seeming high cost in fuel and food and all of that stuff is predicated upon this belief that there is a world out there that is somehow gobbling us up, taking our hard-earned money, and engendering more and more lack. And, of course, we can find many justifications for supporting that belief system, but the question is, are you tired of it enough to step out of it and to be proactive in living in a new paradigm? That's what it means to ascend into the fifth dimension, or the new earth. When are we going to do that? If not now, when? This is the time to depart those old ways. So this lack assumes a variety of guises and forms. A faltering economy, unsuccessful attempts to succeed in your personal and private agendas, unfulfilling and failed relationships. You know, that lack assumes all sorts of forms of deprivation that keep you just short of feeling really whole and really joyous and really full. Some folks have now moved into a more metaphysical approach to life in the attempt to change their outer circumstances and to improve. It's interesting because while the approach is often a happier one, most people eventually discover that it's very much like whistling a happy tune while you're in a dark and scary place. You might feel better, but the darkness and fear is still remaining. So it's almost like a hypnosis to kind of talk you into feeling better while you put up with the darkness and the lack and the fear and the hostile world and all of that. So you, beloved light workers, form the very hands and feet of divine grace in operation on earth as multidimensional whole light beings. for most of you, it's a challenge to identify yourself within any concept of a singular self-definition. Some of you are operating from collectives of consciousness that are often called oversouls. I'm a being that operates as a collective from an oversoul. Sometimes we talk weird. Instead of saying I, we'll say we. Things of that nature. Or we'll refer to our body as this body, or the body that the consciousness is manifesting through. So after a while, you learn to kind of curtail the weird talk so that you can be that without having to make it sound so crazy to the rest of the world. But still, many of you find yourself everywhere and part of everything. And that's normal from where we've come in the highest divine levels of divine consciousness. And then you find yourself hunkering down and adopting and getting rather attached to a form in time and space. And then you come under the Earth's limited light fields of density, gravitational compression, and then you come under Earth's physical and metaphysical laws of polarity, cause and effect, and duality. And like any sane life form, you quickly as possible adapt so as to fit in and survive and to manage the new environment in which you find yourself. So we've been doing that for a long time in some cases. Some of you are newcomers to Earth. So I'm speaking to both of you. I'm working with many of you who are walk-ins, and you're completely clueless as to how to manage yourself here. Nothing seems to agree with you, from what you eat to the energy fields you're constantly called to adapt to. And I would say to you, be patient, beloveds. It's a process of acclimation, okay? All species have that adaptive quality, but none more so than the human being. We are masters of adaptation. So be patient, because it sometimes can take, not to limit yourself to this, but it can take sometimes a cycle of 3 years before you really are integrated as a walk-in. And then you go through sometimes a six-year cycle in which it's very much like a child. A child is born in many cases quite divinely attuned, quite aware. Even though they can't speak about it, they see the face of God, and they're self-realized in many cases. And then by the time they go to school and start getting the indoctrination of Earth poured down their brain, they begin to lose that. The veil starts to drop. So the same thing kind of happens with a walk-in. After about 6 years, that veil starts to drop. And you begin to adjust and adapt to where you began after maybe 12 years, like me. It's pretty cool down here. I kind of like it. You kind of get attached to your work and what you're about. And again, that's another problem, because we can't get too comfortable with our mission and who and what we think we are now, because no matter what we think we are, there's always more. It's never big enough. So integrating and infusing the light, love, awareness, and power of who you are within your higher dimensional aspects with your human vehicle and manifestation is therefore the task and endeavor before every one of us. And that's the intention behind these radio shows, is to encourage you, to inspire you, and to offer very clear keys to moving in an integrated, self-realized state. Many of you call me and work with me on a one-to-one basis. I can do that with just a very few of you. But I hope that I can reach many of you through these radio shows and through the archives that BBS is so kind to have available for all of you. So the new paradigm energetics are all about living from wholeness. Before we move into that fifth dimension or the higher paradigm, we move into the fourth dimension. And again, that often begins in a person being embracing some sort of a belief system, getting saved, getting born again, getting spirit-filled, accepting a teaching or a guru, or coming into some sort of a spiritual approach to life. But that still is not it. That's a religious approach. A religious and a metaphysical approach is not the fifth dimension. It falls within what we would call the category of the fourth density, or the fourth dimension. And within the fourth dimension, there's still the duality of positive and negative, light and dark, good and evil. And out of this paradigm, the good gets to go to heaven, and the evildoers get judged and thrown into hell, basically. I mean, this is a storyline that you can kind of find woven into almost every third and fourth dimensional belief system that lurks somewhere in there. Some areas more blatantly than others, but you'll find that duality. As if there was a great judge that judged us. Now, some scriptures lead you to believe that there is a judge that judges us, that's called God. But that actually is the lower God of the material world that is called in the Eastern teachings Kal Niranjan, which simply means blemishless darkness, or the time-binding spirit. And all of the lower worlds, from the soul plane called the realm of truth, everything beneath that fifth realm is under that lower God form's power. So the vengeful and wrathful and punitive and angry God depicted in some scriptures is that Kal power, that Kal Niranjan, which some simply call Satan or the devil. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but its whole agenda is to keep you recycling in the karmic and reincarnational field so that it can perpetrate its own self-serving survival, because it survives by feeding off of human consciousness. And so do all the extraterrestrial and interdimensional life forms that are not fully into that higher positive realm of divine spiritual wholeness. So we always have to consider the fact that we are still operating within a mixed bag here of third density and fourth density and fifth and sixth and seventh density consciousness here on this physical planet Earth. So this belief system, there is still a very strong investment of identifying oneself with one or other polarity. You'll either identify with being one of the good guys, or you'll identify with being one of the lords of the shadow. But both of those identifications polarize you and keep you stuck in the lower worlds under the law of polarity. So we can't escape through polarization, but only through triangulation, which is finding that point, that middle point in between the pairs of opposites that we often call the neutral zone. I like to call it the elevator of grace. You just ride right up between those pairs of opposites in divine neutrality, or what's often called vairagya, or supreme detachment that comes from knowing that you are that one life, that unified whole. So, I believe I would not err in stating that where most of the light workers are operating out of today is probably primarily the fourth dimension. And, the fourth dimension is all about fixing. Fixing and changing and making things better and improving conditions and pinpointing the injustices of the world and righting the wrongs and all of that. And it's about healing. So there's always a degree of becoming, a degree of unfolding, levels to be attained, initiations and tests to be passed, and a certain bar set that you have to jump over, and certain hoops that you have to bound through in order to get to wherever it is that you need to go. With the religious and fourth dimensional mindsets, you'll also find all of the gigas and gadgets and superstitions and rituals and techniques and do this and you'll be safe, or buy that and that'll clear all the bad energy out of your house or out of your water or whatever. So these are all fourth dimensional technologies, and I won't say they're good or bad, they just are what they are. We're not in a process of judging. There's no necessity to judge anything. You just find out what's going on in your life, and you decide whether or not you want it to keep going on that way, or if you want to make another choice, try something else, try another approach. So the fourth dimension found most of us going to all sorts of seminars on creating more abundance and power and success in our lives, or seminars about relationships and how to attract the love of your life or your twin flame. And yet, for all of our going to these seminars, almost all of us realize that after the high wears off, and that takes maybe a couple weeks before that wears off and we're ready for the next whatever, we're not really shifted that much. We have a few techniques, but because they're not integrated into our own life, they don't really work all that well for us. It's not a thing where you can say, oh, wow, I did that, and that's it. So until it has become your nature and is born out of your own laboratory of life experience and awareness, it doesn't have much of a lasting effect. You've got to make it your own somehow. So that process and that series of becomingness is something that eventually you just put it aside, realizing that we're not here to become. We are already everything we've ever wanted to be. It resides in us right now. So the only thing that we ever need to do is to accept that and move our awareness into that. You move your inner awareness into that perception, and you maintain it however it takes to keep bringing yourself back to that one common thought. I am one life united eternally with one divine source. I am in God. God is in me. I live and move and have my being in God. I'm an embodiment of the divine. God and I are one. I am that I am. All of these things that we take as kind of affirmations, which is neither here nor there if you can't really get your heart into it and your guts into it and everything else into it. You gotta get in there until you get that epiphany that you go, oh, I got it. I got it. I remember one time I was sitting waiting for Sai Baba to give his darshan when he comes out and blesses everybody, Buddha party. This is way back in the early 70s. And I was reading a book called Dhyanavahini, which is probably the most profound book he's ever written. And it's about what we're talking about. It's about the I am, that is who we are, that one life. And all of a sudden, I had an epiphany where it's like, oh, I got it. I'm one with Sai Baba. I'm exactly one with his consciousness. Everything that he has realized as a divine being is within me. It's who I am. And I was just like in that aha moment when all of a sudden, I was sitting all by myself on a hot summer day in India, and he walks out of his interview room. Nobody else was around, just me. He walks straight over to me, and he takes his hand and plops it down on my upturned book and goes, Acha, which in Hindi and Sanskrit means good. He Vibhuti is all over my book, you know, the sacred dash that he materializes, which is his sign of blessing. And then he turns on his heel and walks back into the interview room. And from that moment on, that seed had been planted in me, and it began to grow and grow and grow. There's a mantra in Sanskrit that I'll sing for you, but it has to be sung exactly perfectly to have the desired effects. And when it is sung perfectly, it fully illumines the mind. And it's this. It's called the Gayatri. Om Bhur Bhuva Suvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayat. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. And it's an evocation of the one divine self to illumine the mind with the wholeness of itself. And that is what happened to me when I was in a retreat again many years ago. And I was chanting the Gayatri Mantra with a Japa Mala, which is a Hindu rosary of 108 beads. And somewhere during that repetition of the Gayatri Mantra 108 times, the entire room of 100 and some people vanished into a sea of golden light. And I experienced directly that there are no forms, there is only the consciousness of God. And that experience never, ever left me. It has remained to this day, some 40 years later. And that's what I'm talking about. At some point, all the differentiation dissolves into that wholeness. So, Bhur has to do with the earth. Bhuvaha has to do with the subtle realms, or the third and the fourth dimensions. Suvaha has to do with the fifth and higher dimensions of divine glory. So those three levels are subsumed into the unified field of the one, because we're not going to end up in the fifth dimension. That's just the doorway through the heart into the unified field of the one. But it is, it's learning to live from the heart. Now, I could say follow your heart and you will be in the fifth dimension, but I've found that in talking to many people, the heart slips down into another chakra. It becomes sometimes the, it goes into the third chakra, the solar plexus, where it's, well, I want what I want because I want it. But the spiritual heart has no desire, it has no wants, it has no lack, it has no needs. It has no agenda. It has no ambition. It is simply that which is. Or that misinterpretation of the heart will drop even lower into the second chakra. And it'll become, well, I love you, your house or mine. So when it gets down in that chakra, we're not being led by our heart. We're being led by our desires and our lusting. And that's not living from the heart. Or it drops in to the survival chakra, the root chakra. And you do it simply because it makes you feel at home, or it makes you feel safe, or you feel comfortable. And living from the spiritual heart has nothing to do with any of that. In fact, like Krishnamurti that I quoted some shows back, when you're in the spiritual heart, you don't pay much attention to the stuff in the third and fourth density. Doesn't show up like even a blip on your radar. You don't care. You don't pay attention to what's going on with your, how your body feels or how your emotions feel or what thoughts are running through your data banks. It just doesn't matter. You're living and operating from a higher sense of self that is so vast. It's so vast. It's like, being an astronaut out in space and being concerned about termites in your house. You know, it's just like, that's probably not going to be a concern in your mind when you're in a space capsule out in space. So these little termites that we allow to totally erode our higher consciousness is what we need to really watch out for now, because we literally can move into this higher density. And, of course, the more of us that do that, the easier it will be for those that come behind. I'm part of that visionary vanguard, right out in the beak of the great white bird, the great starry dove, or the white phoenix, whatever you want to call it. I'm right out there in that third eye. And many of you are right there with me. And so we're forging on ahead, even though there doesn't seem to be any evidence visible in our outer world that the world's getting better at all. We've got to hold doggedly, cattedly, whichever way we can hold on, to that thought that this and nothing else is an acceptable outcome. We shall not have a third world war. It is not acceptable. It is not going to even be a remotest possibility. Why? Because we say so. There is going to be a gradual progression into greater and greater enlightenment and good for all. I don't care who you are. Everybody gets to win. Because I tell you something, who in the world in their right spiritual consciousness wants anybody to win at the expense of somebody somewhere losing? Do you know there's actually an order called the Hayos HaKadosh that works with fallen gods, fallen demigods, fallen Elohim, and beings who have gone totally into the dark side to where they have lost every vestige of what we would call consciousness, conscience, or soul. Yeah, there's a group, and they work to rehabilitate and reanimate and rearticulate into the divine form these beings who have somehow gotten way lost into the entropy of the collapsing, limited light condition, light fields. So there is absolutely no one and nothing that is beyond redemption. In fact, in the ancient wisdom teachings, the master Jwal Kool said that Hitler, the soul of Hitler, is actually on Pluto in deep, deep sleep. And periodically they will awaken him to see if conscience has returned to him. Because he was a soul that became completely taken over by the dark lords and completely separated from his higher divine principles. But even he is in rehab, rehabilitation. So when you realize that we are one life, and that life is God, and out of God comes all things, and God cannot lose God. So not one single extension of that one life is going to be separated from that one life. It will retract back into that unified life. It will not lose itself in that unified life. It doesn't go into like what Buddhists call nirvana. We're not going into non-self. We're going into divine wholeness, which then functions again in the creation of a new universe or a new solar system. You yourself will be a god that manifests a creation yet to be in some distant timeline. So, no, we don't dissolve into an amorphous mass of an it. We haven't struggled so hard for so many millions of years to develop individuality and self and God realization to just let it all be squished into, you know, one, you know, a puddle. No. So bear in mind that as you return to this unified wholeness, you don't lose your individuality. In fact, let me tell you something. It's interesting. What we're looking at is you being loyal to yourself. Sometimes people get into a real dilemma because they don't know who to be loyal to. If they're Christians, they're worried about reading New Age material. Maybe it's of the devil. Maybe they will get tied up with beings who will rob them of their, you know, their Christian walk or whatever. Or sometimes people that are following a particular guru or teacher or whatever, they will feel like, oh, well, if I go over to this other group, then I'm being disloyal. You're not here, beloved, to be loyal to any outer form. You're not to be loyal to an outer religious organization, a religious label, a guru, a physical teacher, an ascended master. Not one of those ascended masters, if they're truly ascended masters, if they're truly teachers of light, not one of them will allow you to follow them. They will put you right back into your own divine self and authority and teach you how to walk in a responsible way so that you can be happy with what you energize in the world and the effects that it produces, and you can become more and more proactive in positive creation. So you are not to follow anyone but yourself. Now, what is a self you're talking about? Okay, your sense of what's right for you. You don't have to go any further than that. You've got feedback mechanisms on every level. All of the feedback mechanisms are designed to support your life stream, to keep you alive, protected, safe. Yes, even your fear. Fear is there to let you know, watch out. That may not be a safe place for you to go into. So even though fear is false evidence appearing real, it's also a valid feedback mechanism that our lower consciousness will throw up to us to get our attention. Usually our basic self, the little physical elemental, is the one that brings up the fear. Oh, there's a boogeyman in the closet or lurking in the alley or whatever. Well, you better listen. There might be. So every feedback mechanism that you have inside yourself, pay attention to it. I've given you discernment already, keys of how to tell if it's your ego speaking, which will always opt for your comfort. It'll always be at the expense of somebody else or disregarding someone else. So that's your ego. You can just lay that aside. Your high self will always exercise a disciplinary or a directive that will be sometimes difficult. It's like, well, yeah, but I want to eat that second piece of chocolate cake. Yeah, but you spike your insulin levels, your glycemic levels will go out of bounds, and that's not good for you. So that's the voice of wise counsel. So you follow that. It will always tell you by clarity when it is the voice of the Holy Spirit, because that voice is very clear, it's very soft. But when you hear it, you relax inside and you go into peace. So peace is always the answer of the higher consciousness. Your conscience will also warn you when you're going to do something that's really, it's not really for your highest good. You always know that. You always direct it. I had a situation of not listening last week. I had done a session for someone, and, you know, a session that you put an hour and a half into is irreplaceable. I'm reading records. I'm, you know, working with people in very high levels. And I was told not to put it in the tape recorder to quality test it. I knew it was good. I knew it was fine. I had checked my equipment before I recorded it. But I didn't listen to that little voice, and the voice told me clearly, don't put that tape in that machine. It's going to get chewed. But did I listen? No. I stuck the tape in the machine. It got chewed. I took 2 hours trying my very best, praying, calling in the light, to extricate the tape, and of course it was lost. It was no good. So fortunately, the man that I had done the session for said he had taken notes, and I offered to do another session for him, and he said, that's okay. He said, I took the notes. It's all within me. I can access it whenever I need it. Don't worry. But if I had listened, I would have saved myself so much of a struggle and strife and effort to get that tape out, and it was hot up here, and I was sweating. I didn't say bad words. I didn't lose my cool. I didn't get angry. but I didn't listen either. So listen to that little voice. You'll always hear it before you start to do something that's wrong. It'll say, you're on the freeway, and it'll say, turn off in this exit. And then the second thought is usually your lower mind rationalizing. Yeah, but, don't go to the yeah, but. Just edit the yeah, but. And regardless, get off the freeway. You never know what that voice is trying to protect you against. The voice of the Holy Spirit is always very honoring of your free will. It never pushes an issue. It never forces you. And, you know, if it warns you and you don't listen, who's to blame? So, again, we have only to source to ourselves. Does it work for you? Does it keep you centered? Does it keep you proactive in a positive way? It's working for you. Go with it. So the new paradigm is operating out of several keys, and here they are. Number one, I'm aware that I am perfect, whole, fulfilled, and complete right now. Just move yourself to that awareness right now. Just accept it. Accept it in faith. Assume that it's so. All of the illumined ones say it is. Believe it, if nothing else, just because it's a better approach. That eliminates all of the judgment and all of the stuff that we weave around ourselves to make ourselves feel insufficient, not enough, whatever. So assume that you are perfect, whole, fulfilled, and complete right now, even if that's not your experience yet. If you hold to that with full intention, your whole life will rearrange itself to come into agreement with that, because that's in alignment with truth. The other stuff, the other fragmented fictions of duality and good guys and bad guys and evildoers and all that stuff, that's fiction. That's Maya. That's illusion. So go to the truth, because you have to operate actually out of eternal principle to live in the higher paradigm, rather than temporary personality belief systems. It's moving and operating from eternal principle. When I say a principle, I'm talking about truth with a capital T, love with a capital L, peace with a capital P. These are eternal verities, wisdom with a capital W. Not knowledge, which can change, but wisdom, which is that distilled essence of everything that knowledge and experience has gleaned for you. Number two, I know I always have at hand all that is required in this moment. I want you to really be aware of that. Look around you right now and know that everything that you need right now is at hand. That is a divine principle that you can absolutely stake your life on. Even if, God forbid, your house has just been blown away in a pile of splinters by the tornado, there will be someone who comes with a hot meal for you. There will be someone that comes with medical care and love and support and clothing and shelter. So you will always have at hand what is required, whether it's money or food or support or love or assistance or energy. You will always have the time and the energy that you need to complete the task at hand. Not to handle the future, that drains your energy. Not to regret how you handled things in the past, that drains your energy. But if you bring all of your wholeness present into the moment and stay focused, you will have all that you need to complete your project on time and perfectly. So bring the totality of your awareness present here and now, and be present with your process, whatever you're doing. Learn to do what you do without distracting. Keep focused. And at any moment, you can pronounce it complete. Don't, you know, get yourself strung out on a long timeline where you have to keep, you know, in time. Stay present in the moment. But in the moment, complete things in segments so that at each moment you can say, okay, that's as far as we're going to take it. It's complete. It's complete enough. Number three, I know everything that is for me is present with me now. Everything is in you, with you, accessible. And in time and space, everything that is mine will show up in the perfect time and manner. So again, no stress, no worry, no hurry. Whatever is for you is going to find you in the perfect way, the perfect time, and the perfect form. This is where you completely step out of worry. You completely relinquish the need to manipulate and control and connive and plot, all of that stuff that the ego makes itself crazy for, to get desires fulfilled. Hey, if it's for you, you cannot not have it. It's got to come to you. It's marked for you. It's yours. Number four, I am free inside myself. Are you free inside yourself? That is proof positive that you're in the higher worlds when you are free. So know that the fourth key is, I am free inside myself. I am free as I move about in the world. I'm free as I move about in the cosmos. And the cosmos is simply your greater self. So as you expand your awareness, you begin to live from that wholeness to where, wow, everywhere you are, there you are. So you discover that, and this is the key again, everywhere I go, I am already present. All life dwells within me, and I dwell in the heart of all things. You sit with any God-realized master, and that's the way they talk. That's how they experience themselves. That's why they look so blissed out, and why things in the world don't matter much to them. They don't pay any attention to them. It's beings at that state that hold this planet together. It's these great souls meditating in the Himalayas and in other places in the world that hold that God-realized state. And some people are being called to walk out that God-realized state in the everyday world. Maybe some of you listening. So these are some of your keys. Number five, I am the light that illumines all. I am light. I am truth. I am love divine. I am that I am. Out of my wholeness, the fullness of life in all its abundance, flows to me. That's your sixth key. So out of your wholeness, you attract the wholeness of that life more abundant. Do you understand that in the new paradigm, you must resonate perfectly with what you want to have attracted into your life? You cannot attract your twin flame, for example, into your life if you feel half. That's why Ashtar always calls me his other wholeness. I thought it was kind of cute the way he did it at first, and now I understand what he meant. He never says my other half. We're not half of our twin flame. We are the other wholeness. The twin flame manifests as objective and subjective. So I am the objective manifestation of Ashtar. He is the subjective manifestation of Athena. That's the way it is for every one of you and your twin flame. So these are, again, the keynotes that sound and resonate. That life that we're being called now to move into, that we call the new paradigm, or the fifth dimension, or the new dimensional earth, or the ascension, where you live from your wholeness. So I think these things are useful to you if you, perhaps when you get, I go off the air, you take your journal and you write down some of these statements that I've made, some of these keys, and then you examine your life. Look at it in terms of your relationships, your finances, how you think about the support and the money that you have in your life and in the world. Are you operating out of that sense of having wholeness and having all your needs met, not by your effort, but by who you are and what you are? Your very essence evokes that support because, again, God supports God. Truth supports truth. That is the value of truth. That is the support of the universe. So as you work with these and contemplate them, if you choose, you know, I mean, there's different strokes for different folks, but perhaps this show is going to be, for some of you, that time when you have your epiphany. It's like, oh, I got it. I don't have to slay dragons anymore. I don't have to be out there with whoever fighting the galactic evildoers or whatever. Oh, I don't have to be the whistleblower that reveals what's happening behind the scenes of the Illuminati and the Men in Black and all that. You can get out of all of those lower holodeck scenarios. They don't mean anything in the higher consciousness. Moreover, they are depriving you of moving into the new paradigm. Get it? There's nothing to be fixed in a world that's totally based on shadows and illusion and misidentification. There's nothing to be fixed. There is no evildoers to be fought. There is nothing to be battled. There is nothing that needs fixing. There is nothing that needs changing. It's just what you choose to have real for you. You can see wholeness. You can see divine, beautiful perfection and order. Or you can look out of eyes of duality. If that turns you on as your thing, hey, have at it. There'll be a universe coming right in to take this, the place of this one, and you can move over to that one and repeat the whole past 26,000 year cycle if you want. But a lot of us are like so out of here. So for those of you who would be the ones that are so out of here, let's go. Let's choose wholeness and live from that now. Okay, we're going to close with a little bhajan tonight. And it's a little chant. Ready? Take a deep breath. I am immortal. I am living light. I am one life eternal. I am immortal. I am living light. I am one life eternal. God bless all of you, and God willing, I'll see you next week. Adonai.